I would guess if you have been to a wedding, you have heard these words. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails or ends. My guess is you've probably heard those words at some type of a wedding somewhere along your lifetime. Maybe when you got married, they were even used in your wedding. I just want to tell you, these were never directed for a wedding. That wasn't why they were given. We love them, but that wasn't the purpose of them. They're fitting. Hopefully, your marriage is built on love, so hopefully that's a very fitting thing. But the context in which we get these words is not somebody's wedding. The context in which we get these words is on a church that is really messed up. And the context in which we get these words is in a section where God, through Paul, is writing to this church. And he's having to bring about some correction and direction of how they ought to do things differently. Because this church is phenomenally blessed with miraculous gifts. Gifts of speaking in tongues without having to learn the language. I was in high school and college. I would love to have had the gift of tongues, but I did not. Okay. There was this church that was filled with the miraculous ability to speak forth or prophesy God's word. This was a church that had a spiritual strength and faith to them that really was amazing. And here's the bigger amazing part. Each one thought they had the best gift. As in, this person's ability to speak in tongues was more important than this person's ability to prophesy, but this person's ability to bring healing to somebody was more important than that person's gift or that person's gift. And now they are just fighting amongst themselves about the gifts given to them by God's Spirit. And so in light of all of that, not a marriage, says, I want to show you a more excellent way. And he begins by saying, if I do all of these things, but I don't have love, the basic result is I am nothing. I have no connection to God if it's all about me and not about love. And then he does for us what we need many times, and that is, help me to define the word. So how many of you have heard the word? Well, look at that. Most every hand goes up. You all speak Greek. I'm impressed. Okay? I had to go to college and spend a couple of years studying language, so I'm really impressed you can do that. How about the word phileo or phileo? We say Philadelphia. Most of you heard that one. You got a lot of love language going on in this church. Now, we try to parse those Greek terms and say, well, this agape love that, you know, God so loved the world, this agape love, this is the love that is the very nature of God, that is not based upon the recipient and how the recipient is showing love back, but is instead, it's all about the other. And there's this depth of unconditional love. We sometimes use that phrase. Paul just says, let me just what love is. Love is patient. Because a bunch of you are not. Love is kind. Because a bunch of you are not. Love doesn't envy or boast, but a bunch of you do. Love is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. But hey, when we come to church, everybody's got to make sure I got my food, I got my drink, I got all my stuff. He said, let me define love for you in a very practical way. And we can parse the Greek terms, and that's fine. Paul says, but if you're not living out what it really means, your knowledge is a waste of time. So he ends this, not really a second, he ends this phrase of teaching us about love by saying love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love doesn't end. There are things that are going to cease, that are going to end. There are tongues that are going to cease. There are prophecies that are going to cease. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When that perfect comes and everything is revealed, everything will be made known at that point in time. But even though these things remain, faith and hope and love, the greatest love. That's the context. How we put it into the wedding, it was a really good thing to say, and it works nice. But that's the context. So when we come to this section today, I want to just walk through four, well, technically five phrases that he ends here with. Love bears all things. Now, that word that is translated as bears sometimes is used, I think NIV uses the word protects, always protects. It's a word that was in the Roman world. It wasn't used for love at all. That wasn't even how they used that term, bears all things or protects all things. It was used to describe a covering of something that was done for the purpose of protecting that which it covered. For example, the way it would have been used, people and cargo are in a ship. And the ship bears them through the water to get to wherever they are going, wherever the cargo and the people need to go. The ship protects them from the sea. Otherwise, they all drowned. So the ship is bearing them. A house was used in the terms of that day and age, that a house bears or covers over us. It protects us, especially the roof, from the elements that are going on around us. I like living in a house. I do. I like it when it's super cold outside and you see the snow coming down, and I just turn on my furnace and I look at that snow and it's really nice. That house has protected me, covered me from the elements. So Paul says, God through Paul says that love bears or protects that which it loves. And it is used in the sense, not so much as our love for God in the context, even though that's true. It's used in the sense of our love for one another. Let me give you three verses just to think about. And it's not that these three verses all use the word love or this particular idea. It gives us the idea of what love is doing. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. You can see them up on the screen. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all offenses. That's an Old Testament teaching. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 has a very similar tone to it. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. James, in James chapter 5, kind of brings out that same idea. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The idea is love has this protection, this covering that goes over it. How does that all get translated into real life? How do I love another person with this idea that love bears or protects or covers? When I know that you are dealing with some issue in your life that is bringing you to your knees, what my love for you does is it covers you. You've got enough going on in your life right now. You don't need anything else. So my love is going to extend over you, and it's going to protect you. It's going to shield you from the other things that are going on in life, because right now what you are going through is so difficult. You just need love. That's what you need. You need it to just surround, cover over you, just literally envelop you. We often go to Psalm 23 in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What love does with another person is love walks with them through the valley. That's what love does. The protection of love, the bearing all things of love, walks with them through their pain, through their death, through their darkness, through their sorrow, through the evil. And it does it to the best of our ability. As a church, we cannot heal the hurts afflicted upon you. We cannot fix every problem or right every wrong that has happened against you. But we can, and we must, cover you with love. And that's what we do. Love bears all things. The second word is believes. The result of love is that it doesn't fail because it covers over the other person, but it also believes, or again, I think this, the NIV says, trusts all things. I don't have my phone on me, but have you ever gotten a text message and you read the text message and you don't know whether that is meant to be positive or negative? So you're unsure of how to reply. And so you read the text message again. And you think to yourself, are they mad or happy? Because that would help me understand what the message means. I will tell you what we are conditioned for. We're conditioned for the negative. That's what we're conditioned for. If we have two ways to read something, generally speaking, not always, not in every case and with everybody, I'm just talking generalities, we'll go to the negative. We just will. Why? Because we say we are not gullible. We are not children anymore. We have grown up. We know what the world is like. What a tragedy of what the world is. It has taken away from us an ability to believe, to trust. That it has made us so cynical that when I have to make a decision, I tend to fall towards the negative than I do the positive. Peter asked Jesus, how often should we forgive a person who sins against us? And he threw out the number. 7 times? I love Peter. Let me tell you a phrase. And I know this phrase well. I've said this phrase and I shouldn't. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. You know what that says is you get one chance to offend. Not two, not seven, not 70 times seven. You get one. And then you're done. That's what the phrase says. God's into a church filled with pain, anger, resentment of each other. And he says, love believes. Love trusts. Do people do harmful things? Yes, they do. But as we just read, love does not keep an account of wrong. Oh, come on. How many of us know exactly how many times somebody has wronged us? And we will even say it sometimes. You have done me harm so many times, I can't trust you anymore. I get that. I get that. Is there a time when I don't trust somebody? Yes, there is. Is that wrong? I think Jesus allows for an understanding of wisdom, of how to deal with people. But that's really not the point that he's bringing out here. The point that he's bringing out here is, do I trust your motive? And when I'm dealing with a fellow Christian, which is where this context is coming from, do I trust that your motive as a Christian is pure, even if your actions don't always come across that way to me? Do I believe in you? Even though, frankly, I don't always understand where you're coming from. And sometimes I feel hurt. Sometimes the things you say that you think are in love, I just take as a slap across the face. Paul says, love believes. Believes in that person enough that love will trust them. Not that everything is always right and is roses all the time. It's not. But when I truly believe that you love Jesus Christ, I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. So when I get that text message and I can read it one of two ways, when it comes from you, I'm going to read it positive. I'm going to read it that you're concerned. I'm going to read it that you're looking out for my best interest. Because I believe that about you. That love that protects is the same love that trusts. It is willing to catch me when I fall. Carrie and I were doing a marriage thing years and years ago, and we were with this group of couples, and we were out, and this counselor had us all out at this place, and one of the things we had to do at this, where we were, was what they call a trust fall. Okay? I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And part of it was to trust that the group would catch you. And so you're up a decent ways, like on a tree platform. And then you're supposed to turn around backwards and just fall off, believing that everybody below you is going to catch you. Well, let me just tell you, I don't like heights End of subject. Okay? I can watch a video of a person like walking a tightrope and literally my insides will start to churn. I mean, I will get anxious just watching the video because I don't like heights. So here I am standing on a platform with my back to everybody about to fall backwards into a group of people's arms that I'd only met that day at this marriage seminar. And I'm thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. But the question that he was trying to get us to come to is why it's called a trust fall. Do you trust? I did fall. They did catch, which was good. But you know what was even scarier? Is when Carrie was standing on that platform and I was one of the people down with my arms held out. More than anything else, when she began to fall, I don't care who was doing what, I wanted to make sure she didn't get harmed. And I think that was really the lesson he wanted me to take home that day. Am I going to trust? Am I going to believe in the motive, in the good in somebody? Which brings us to our third of four. Love hopes all things. The idea of the language that Paul writes in is of this expectation that is coming. The Gentile people, the Roman world, the Greek language of the Roman world would use this term hope as an expectation of a future, but it wasn't always positive. It was just an expectation. This is what they expected to happen in the future, okay? So instead, I hope this happens, meaning I believe this is going to happen. That would have been the way that they would have expected it or used that term. Jewish people had a different expectation. Their expectation was that as children of God, God will bless us no matter what comes our way. They had a different view of hope than the Roman world had. And Paul is bringing all of that together when he says, love hopes all things. Hebrews chapter 11 begins by saying faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. It's the evidence of the things we haven't seen yet. Faith has an expectation. Hope in the sense that the Hebrew writer puts it is a confidence in God. Even though I've not seen God. It is an expectation upon a future based upon the people of old, based upon the past, based upon my past. I have a friend that I talk to frequently, and one of the things we talk about is how God has protected us from the full consequences of our past. My expectation with God is that he will never leave me nor forsake me. My hope in him is of such that I will change my life to live in relationship with him because I believe, I expect, my hope is he will give me eternal life. That's not a hope that says, well, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not saved. That's not where I'm going with this. It is such a confidence in who God is and what God has promised that I believe it. Without having seen it, I believe it. So when Paul writes this to a church and he says, love hopes all things, he is talking about you are putting your expectation into the hands of your fellow Christians. And you believe that they want what is best for you. Does love have to discipline? Yes, it does. As a parent, we know that. As a church, we hate it, but we know that. But love does that. Why? Because the expectation is it will bring a correction into your life to where you will continue to walk in fellowship with God. Love will always see the good and the potential for the good in others, even when others see the sin. That's what love does. Do I sin? Yes. Sin against you? Maybe. I don't know. You would probably know that better than I. But love sees the potential future of good and doesn't stay stuck in the sin that I have done. That changes a relationship that I have with somebody. A spouse, a child, a friend, a fellow Christian. Love doesn't let sin control, but it sees how the person can stop living the life of sin. And through that expectation, walks with them. And then number four, love endures all the things. It covers or bears, it believes, trusts, it hopes, it sees the future. But it calls upon me to endure in the process. I think it's the fourth of these for that very reason. Because I got to keep on keeping on, even when I really don't want to anymore. Because that's what love does. Love keeps on keeping on. Colossians 3 verse 13 commands us to bear with one another. Sometimes as fellow saints, we don't always act or think or speak like saints. Yet love endures the fault because love wants to be connected with you. This type of love doesn't quit just because life isn't fair or just because someone at church hurt my feelings or just because I felt slighted. This type of love endures through the pain when love isn't present. I think it's the hardest of the four because now I am continuing on to cover you, trust you, hope for a better future. When right now we are at odds, could I just walk away? Yeah, I could. Or do I endure through it? Because love will see how much good can be done when sin gets conquered. Instead of just accepted. When pain is pushed through and unity is brought about, even when there are Christians who some were eating and being drunk and others going without and they were calling it the Lord's Supper. Even when their coming together was doing more harm than good, love endures through all of that. That is why they say love never ends. Some translation, love never fails. It doesn't quit. I'll tell you, there are many times when I want to quit. Love doesn't. I have walked through marriages that have come to an end. I have been with people whose anger between one another, not even married anger, but just conflict between one another has has caused him to say, I can't even attend this church anymore. I've got to go somewhere else to worship. I can't walk through that door another time. Do I weep? Yeah. I want to close by reading a passage to you. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin with verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The whole purpose, Paul narrows down the purpose of spiritual leadership, is to take every Christian in each of those local congregations and help everyone find their ministry, their place in the body of Christ, to help them grow, to mature, to help them understand truth and doctrine, to help them not be tossed to and fro by everything that gets thrown at them from false teachers along the way. Because there is a purpose to all of this, and that is so that the church can grow, the body can grow itself up in love. We're going to keep going with love for the next 2 weeks. But where we're going to go, I think it's next Sunday, is that they're going to know that we are Christians by our love. Love is a defining characteristic of who we are, which is why love doesn't end. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Again, I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. I don't know all who are in your walk with Christ of those who I do know. But I do know this. If we don't love each other, we're wasting each other's time. I know that much. If we can't find value in one another, why would the world want to become a Christian? If we can't get beyond our differences, how are we going to spend eternity in heaven? Love just bears it all and believes and hopes and endures. And maybe where you are right now is in need of love. It really might be where you are right now. Can we love you? It's okay to say, I just need some protection. I need some covering. I need someone to hope for. I need someone to trust in me. I need someone to work through this with me. If you're separated from Jesus Christ, you're trying to do it on your own. And man, that's got to be tough. Can we love you in a relationship with him? Can we walk beside you? If we can do that and you need that need met, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?